Okay, let me officially welcome everyone to Momentum Mastery Monthly. Today we have our success call on taking inspired action. Always feels like my favorite topic, whatever topic we're talking about. This is the lesson between where the choice point is surrender versus control. And what we're going to be focusing on here today is identifying powerful action steps for each of your top goals that you've previously identified. And if you don't have those goals right in front of you, this may be a good time to refocus on, so what are the top three goals that I'm really most focused on here over the next 90 days? We're also going to talk about the difference between inspired action versus forced action. You can tell which one might be my favorite. We're going to distinguish when you really want something or not. We're going to remind you that it's not about doing every action on your to-do list, but it's really more about achieving your overall outcome. We're going to talk about using willpower to overcome fear and ego, and really allow them to serve you instead of you being driven by such entities. And we're going to talk about the idea of surrendering to your desires versus controlling them. And I want to just kick off with this call with a quote by Joel Barker. Vision without action is merely a dream. Action without vision just passes the time. Vision with action can change the world. And that's Joel Barker. So as we just about jump into our call, I want to point to a few little things on the front end. One is a little bit of a reminder of what we've done over the month of September. Those CDs are in the process of being edited, and will be shipping out here in the next week or so. We talked about the importance of emotional muscles, and I imagine some of you have really been working to flex those emotional muscles of abundance, of gratitude, of being seen, of feeling worthy and deserving. We also talked last time about just feeling worthy and deserving and really owning your value and diving into that, which for most human beings is a challenge, to really tap into the deepest level of your sense of worthy and deservingness. And in previous calls, we've talked about creating your year-long vision. So this would be a really great call to supplement that year-long vision. And we've also talked about this idea of spirit versus ego, really listening and honoring our spirit's guidance. And so now, even more than ever, we're really going to put that relationship with spirit's guidance, with your inner guidance, your intuition, into action when we start talking about taking inspired action. So reminders there. And as we are approaching, most of you get other emails from me and know that the Inner Peace Immersion Retreat is right around the corner in just 8 days. I can hardly believe it. I know some of you will be there, so looking forward to spending several days with you in person. And if you're not registered for the Inner Peace Immersion Retreat and would like to attend, I want to invite you to email me privately. I'm offering a special rate for Momentum Mastery Monthly members, especially those that are here on the live call. So email me privately, and let's figure out a way to have you at this event. So I've got a little leeway where I can support you in making that happen. And also, one of the resources you're going to find in the forum later on tonight is it's the Inner Peace Immersion Retreat questionnaire. So those of you that are already registered for the retreat have already received this in your inbox or will be receiving it tonight. This is a questionnaire. It's, even if you're not attending the retreat, this is my gift to you. It's a very comprehensive questionnaire. It's not a, you know, sit down 10 minutes, do this. This is really meant to gear people up for the retreat in a way that really will tee things up so that you really get the most value. It's going to bring a lot of awareness to the service. Some of the questions will be really easy to answer, and some of them will be a little bit more thought-provoking. But whether you are attending the retreat this go-round or in a future retreat, it's a worthy exercise. So I know each of you are really committed to your own personal growth, and you'll find this a very valuable tool. So heads up on that. So let's get into talking about taking inspired action. So if we think of, you know, what is inspired action? Inspired action is about being pulled into action. Inspired literally means in spirit, right? So action that's generated by spirit running through this physical body. It's about letting action flow. It's about letting action take you. And it's effortless versus effortful. And it's about allowing the power of your vision to pull you into action. So really even to sit for a minute and kind of viscerally feel what that's like. And we might say on one hand that all of life is moving through us every day anyway, no matter, you know, whether we think we're really in charge of our lives or not, there is sort of a sense of something, some kind of organizing force. We could call it spirit, we could call it source energy. Something moving through us all the time. So often we're resisting that life force, and so we're artificially slowing things down. Alternatively, we may want things to happen a whole lot faster than is our given timeline, and in which case it feels like we're wanting to artificially speed things up. And, you know, it's another way to kind of push against things naturally occurring in our lives. But when we can find that sweet spot, that place of inspired action, it's more or less like surfing a wave. You know, you get on there and it just sort of carries you forward. It's relatively effortless. It's not cumbersome. Like climbing a mountain, many of us might, that might be the opposite analogy where it's like, oh, you know, it's like, and really resisting climbing the mountain, like every single footstep lifting one after the other, it could be just completely exhausting, right? So what we're going for with inspired action is really setting up those circumstances so that we're open to action coming through us and in essence, you know, using a whole lot less energy in the process. So I want to put a little inquiry out for us to explore, and that is, how do you know you're taking inspired action? What are the clues?
It feels easy.
It feels easy, for sure. Who else would add to that?
Well, I'd say you're completing things.
Hmm.
You're getting them done.
Yeah. So good. So the cool thing about inspired action is when we let it run, it goes all the way to completion. It doesn't stop midway.
Mm.
Yeah. Who else would add to that? How do you know you're taking inspired action?
You're enjoying the process.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Enjoying the process.
You look forward to it.
You look forward to it. Absolutely.
It seems right. There's no conflict.
Mm-hmm. Seems right. No conflict. And maybe even there's less mind involved, less second guessing. It's just clear. And in a way, it's like almost automatically happening. Yeah. So let's take this next question. How do you think you can increase your ability to take inspired action? Like even just think about it. When thinking about this as a metaphor of really allowing action to run through you, what would really allow yourself to increase your ability to take inspired action?
Well, Mary, Dale, I'm going to say something. It feels really simple, but it feels really true to me, and that is remember to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
when I stop breathing, I do not have access to inspired action.
Right. Yeah, and of course, it's one of the best indicators of stress alive in our bodies is when we stop breathing. You know, you can even like try it on right now just to hold your breath for a minute. It's like there's more contraction. What else? How can you increase your ability to take inspired action?
Well, this is Catherine, and one thing is just to make the choice to be looking for it. You know, starting off the day and saying, boy, wouldn't it be nice to take inspired action all day might increase the chances.
Right. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I completely agree. And it's a pretty fun experiment.
All right. This is Cindy. I would say by practicing meditation and also being in the moment.
Yes.
If you're in the moment, then you see the...
Exactly. Exactly, exactly. And actually, that's one of the biggest keys is both. So we can actually take apart both of those. One, the practice of meditation, we know from meditation that calming the mind, we end up with a clearer signal-to-noise ratio, which really means we're more of an open vessel versus with a lot of mind chatter going on, you know, all kinds of things about, oh, you should do this, and oh, you should do that, and well, what about this, and what about this, and how about this, and well, and there's this. Right? So it can end up being quite confusing if we've got a whole lot of chitter-chatter going on. So meditation is certainly awesome. And when you bring it back to the present moment, it's actually one of the really, really big keys, which is why taking inspired action is lesson number 5 and not lesson number 1. Lesson number 1 in the Power of Inner Choice is about living in the present moment. Because when we can really learn to be in that present moment, it's from this space that we can be in a better position to allow ourselves for inspired action to run through us. And then, of course, leading into lesson number 2, once we're present, we can really choose things that consciously cultivate a high energy vibration. And when we're in a higher energy vibration, we're also going to be much more likely to allow inspiration to move through us. When we're in a lower vibration in places like fear or shame or grief or anxiety, it's like, I don't know how it is for the rest of you taking action, but I typically find that it seems to take at least double or if not triple or quadruple the energy. And of course, when we're really fully present and we're in a high energy vibration, we're more easily accessible to spirit. And of course, this is really the central command center for inspired action. Excellent. So who else would add? What can you do to increase your ability to take inspired action?
Love what you do.
Love what you do. Yeah.
You know, if you can wake up in the morning and look forward to going and doing whatever it is that you do each day, it's almost like you get to go and play all day and somebody pays you to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's a real welcoming of everything that's showing up in your space, like welcoming the action, looking at it as a joy and a love to do as opposed to a have to or should do.
That's right. And, you know, the fact is that no matter what you're doing or almost no matter what you're doing, you can always find a perspective that will allow you to feel that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's very true. Very true.
It's all on how you interpret it. Do you want to choose to resist it or do you want to choose to embrace it?
It reminds me of one of the blog posts that I did that I received from the Byron Katie world. It's about the diary of a dog and the diary of a cat. And the diary of the dog, it goes something like 8:00, you know, Friday morning, dog food. Oh, yippee, my favorite. 10:00, walking, my favorite. 12:00, water break, my favorite. 2:00, nap time, my favorite. right? So on and on and on, like everything that comes the dog's way is like, oh, goody, my favorite. And we can really take on that same energy with each and really each and every activity in our day. It's like, oh, goody, my favorite. And sometimes even saying that, even if it, you know, maybe wasn't your favorite 50 seconds ago, could be really helpful in making that shift. Great. And I'll throw in another one here, and this is really the essence of inspired action is really surrendering. Really surrendering to it. So it's almost just not getting in the way of it, not editing, but allowing yourself to just be moved through life. So just surrendering to that flow as opposed to a kind of a control thing. And I'm wondering, how many people have that experience? I was talking with somebody at an event a couple weeks ago, and we were really talking about his thought. He was very big in law of attraction and really asking him, it's like, well, you know, do you control your thoughts? He's like, absolutely, absolutely control every single thought. And if we ask him, so every single action, do you control every single action? And he was very emphatic, yes, absolutely, I control every single action. And so I gave him a little inquiry. I said, well, you know, I'd like you to just play with this for the next 24 hours and just notice and observe when a thought arises or when an action arises, were you controlling it? Or was something else, did something else arise? Did a thought just arise? Did the action just arise? And just to pay attention. And it was kind of funny because it came back 24 hours later and he was still pretty convinced. Oh, he's like, you know, no, he's like, you know, I'm in charge, I'm in charge, I'm in charge. Although he was saying, it's like, then I asked him the question, it's like, well, who's the I that's in charge? And as he started reflecting, it's like the I that was in charge was really that big I, like the spirit I, consciousness, God, that was the I he was talking about that's really moving, you know, through him all the time. So as I shared with him, I said, well, certainly my experience is that it's not the I, meaning the little I, me, you know, Mary Allen, this package that's put here on planet Earth. I noticed that thoughts just arise, that as I'm sitting here, a thought enters. Certainly there are times when I can reach for a thought and say, I want to feel good, or I want to, even if I put out an intention, I want to call forth my top three goals. Okay, so where did that thought come from, you know, that ends up getting listed down? If I want to do a brainstorm, then for 10 inspired actions for each of my top 10 goals, you know, where did those thoughts come from? Is it me, the little me, or is there something else moving through me? And in the same way, with action, is really to notice, you know, what actions are moving through you. And at any given moment, it's like, oh, like I'm moving my hands right now. You know, the who or what is moving the hands? Is it me, the conscious me? Oh, it just stopped. Is it because I said to stop, or was something else moving through me? So I want to open the lines back up. There was a little echo a minute ago. So just to check in, how do you experience action arising? How do you experience thought arising?
This is Catherine. I would say that I really resonate with that idea that thoughts are rising, and it fits with where I'm learning. You know, and listening to Arjuna's book and this Adi Ashanti character who's got a great other take on it, that how separate you can be from thought.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just that's brand new thinking for me, and it's been delicious, you know, just to think, hey, it is a thought, therefore I can do things with it, pay attention to it, ignore it, you know, whatever I want to do with it, versus feeling like my thought owned me.
Right, exactly, or that you are your thoughts.
Exactly.
And that we have to believe every one of the thoughts that arises.
Right, I'm thinking it, so it has validity. Well, maybe not.
Yeah, maybe not so much.
Yeah.
I find a lot greater peace in just simply questioning the thoughts that arise as opposed to believing them. It sure makes life simpler. who else might add a thought or comment about actions arising on their own, particularly when you're in inspired action. We'll talk in a minute here about you know, the difference between forced action and inspired action, but I would largely say that a lot of what's going on already is inspired action. And I would say that a lot of what's going on is that we're kind of kicking and screaming along the way, saying, oh, I'm not sure I'm ready for this, and so you're putting all those brakes on, or wanting to speed things up, you know, quicker than time is unfolding. But what's your experience of inspired action naturally occurring in your world?
This is Michael.
Yeah, Michael.
Let me ask you something. Have you ever been talking around a table with people, maybe brainstorming, and somebody says the absolute worst idea, they come up with the worst idea possible,
mm-hmm.
and the very next idea turns out to be totally brilliant?
So let me see if I'm following you. So we're at a table and somebody pulls up like worst idea, and then right after the worst idea comes a great idea.
Yeah, not necessarily from the same person.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, very likely a different person.
Mm-hmm.
But that worst idea was just the trigger that caused somebody to come up with this wonderful,
yes,
beautiful idea.
Yes.
It's like a seed, an ugly seed that turns into a beautiful flower.
Right. Know? I've certainly had that happen.
That happens to me all the time.
Mm-hmm. So what do you make of that?
I'm not sure. I don't know if I've mentioned it on these calls, but in my mind, things are very quiet most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Very peaceful, very quiet. And one day somebody asked me, well, you know, they were very surprised to hear this, because for apparently for most people, there's, you know, a gazillion of thoughts going on all the time in their head. And so I had to come up with an analogy on how I perceive this. And the analogy I came up with was, I'm in a room by myself. That's my world.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing else in the room. Well, there's maybe the other stuff in the room. I just picture it as a dark room where that's very empty, very plain, very peaceful, very quiet. And as I go through my days, there's a door. And every once in a while, the door will open and somebody will pass me a note.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, there's next door, there's a party going on, or there's something going on. There's a lot of noise next door, and every once in a while the door will open and the idea will come in and the door will close. And I have no idea where it comes from. You know, some people will say, oh, well, that comes from God. They could say it comes from
spirit,
universe,
or comes from, right,
spirit.
Intuition, right, sure.
But it's just my way of, you know,
yeah,
visualizing how this is. How I perceive it, and I have no idea what is in the next room or in the next, wherever it's coming from. It could be the subconscious for all I know.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Right, yeah. That gets us into a big question of, you know, where do these ideas come from? And yeah, I mean, it can be useful to kind of create a metaphor for how thoughts are arising. And particularly if we can be kind of open and receptive to them showing up. And so what I'm hearing is that some of the notes that get passed to you feel like really, really great ideas, and some of them also get, some are great and some feel like not so great ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, actually, most of the notes that come through are usually quite amazing ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't figured out how to go over to the door and knock at the door for an idea.
Well, and that could be a tricky thing. So this is sort of kind of, we're taking inspired action into the mind, which, you know, where it generates, I think it's where it generates itself anyway. But there is something that when we really try and we're like, hey, can you send me some more notes? Like, we might put out a request or an intention and say, hey, you know, I really would like to receive, I'd like a few more notes, particularly if you can send me some notes on this particular topic.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Up until tonight, when I was describing this analogy of the room that I'm in,
mm-hmm.
it had never actually occurred to me to knock on the door and ask a question.
Mm.
I just always, you know, waited for the door to open and something to be passed to me.
Right. Well, and
I wonder if there's something there.
Yes, I would say.
Yeah.
I think, and it kind of comes back to this general inquiry of, you know, how we can increase our ability to take inspired action. It's kind of all around the same thing. It's, you know, there are certain things we can do that make ourselves more susceptible and receptive to consciousness flowing through us. Could be another word, works of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and for you, Michael, just to kind of stay on this original inquiry, so when you experience action running through you, I guess the question is do you feel like you're in control of every action you take, or do you also experience life unfolding through you? How does it feel for you?
That's a very deep question. I've often wondered that.
So stay with the question.
Yeah.
Like how would you respond? What's your experience?
I guess I would have to say it's a partnership.
That's a beautiful way of describing it.
Things happen, things exist, but I have to do my part too. Anything that comes into my life will not have any meaning or value to it if I'm not there to be open to it and take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree, and I think that word partnership is a really, really powerful way to embrace this idea of inspired action, because there is something moving through us. There's a lot of unconscious people walking around the planet that have never been exposed to any personal growth ever. And you know what? You know, they continue to progress through life. You know, there's something happening. But there's something also that occurs that when we can really embrace the partnership in a way where we tie that to our vision, that path actually leads to something that, you know, maybe perhaps is an even higher expression of who you are. So let's talk about
okay.
a couple. Yeah?
This is Cindy. If I can add something,
sure.
I hope I can explain this the way I'm sort of trying to think it in my head.
Uh-huh.
Just with the whole action thing, you know, all of us, we do so much as just, you know, out of push of habit or whatever we've learned, you know. And what was wrong with me is I actually had three ligaments in my foot, which were totally separated. And a ligament connects bone to bone, so my bones actually were not working together, which created everything else. So it's really amazing that you know, everything that I can do, every step that I take, or like I got to do the dishes the other night, and I found great joy in that because I hadn't been able to do it in so long. But it's just a matter of being aware of how every aspect of your body and your mind goes along with everything else. And it's like something that I've really been more in tune to with an injured foot like this.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, you know, because I do, I really have to concentrate to move that foot or to do anything with that foot right now, whereas, you know, before you just don't think about moving. And I think with any type of action, be it, you know, starting a new project or something, whenever you're truly inspired action, you don't think about it. It just all flows together because all the bones are connected in the right places. So until everything's connected in the right place, the thoughts and the actions don't connect in the way they're supposed to. I don't know if that makes sense.
Right. Yes. And it's almost like if we've just had surgery on our foot, you know, it's sort of like a good metaphor for like really being cut off from your power. It's like there's sort of a regeneration stage to, you know, bring yourself back into full connection and things working. If we overexhaust ourselves, for example, or we're not giving ourselves the foods that really give us the proper energy, it handicaps us in kind of the same way.
A friend of mine, she had told me, she said, your feet are your pathway for your life. And so she said, with my injured foot, I'm beginning a new path in my life now with the new beginnings in my foot.
New beginnings in the foot. Love it. Love it, love it. So beautiful. Let's come to just a few other organizing principles, and then I want to wrap up the call by going to each of you that are here on the line that are willing to share, you know, what are two inspired actions that you're wanting or willing to take on over the coming 2 weeks. But let's talk a couple other distinctions here about outcome versus action steps. So one of the ways that we can get tripped up and handicap, if we will, inspired action, is if we get too caught up in having to do all the steps. And if instead we come back to reminding ourselves what is really the overall outcome versus the action steps. And my friend Clark is a brilliant biotech engineer. He does all kinds of medical devices, literally has, he's like the fifth largest patent holder. And what I love is he's always coming to, you know, what's really the ultimate solution that we're aiming for? What's the ultimate outcome? One time they were in the lab and they were looking for some matches. And, you know, they couldn't find matches. And then Clark said, no, it's like, what are we really after here? We're really after fire. Like, how else can we create fire here? Right? So, you know, rubbing two things together and, you know, an alternative. You know, sometimes we get caught up in those extra action steps. So to really be looking at, you know, those overall outcomes, and as you brainstorm those list of inspired actions, it may be some of those inspired actions you name first just to kind of help generate the next few ideas, but it doesn't necessarily mean you need to do every single one of them. So one principle to keep in mind. Another idea is around this idea of inspired action versus willpower. And so, you know, what do we mean with willpower? I like to think of willpower as sort of the, you know, it's when we need a little boost. Sometimes maybe we've got ego is standing in the way, and like there's a part of you that's wanting to jumpstart, let's say, a health or fitness program, and you're not quite feeling the inspiration, or the inspiration isn't strong enough to trump the ego that's saying, no, let's start tomorrow. Let's start next week. You know, let's do whatever. Willpower, it can be useful to come into play and say, you know, it's like ultimately this is in alignment and serves my greater vision. And so I'm willing to let willpower jumpstart inspired action to kind of give it the boost. It's like once I use willpower to get my workout clothes put on my body and willpower to start marching through the door, usually it's just getting the workout clothes on. That's where the willpower is. And then inspired action takes over and carries me off to the gym and carries me into the workout, and, you know, workout's done and over and I get to feel fantastic, right? So we can think of willpower as a little jump starter. I've seen some people use, you know, well, I'm just not inspired to do this or that. And we want to be careful that, you know, we want to really come to distinguish, is this the voice of ego that's coming from fear, that's, you know, causing me to play smaller, or is it really, you know, true inspiration of what's really in your divine best good? Then we can take kind of the next principle of really distinguishing between forced action, and using willpower. So there can be a way, and there's many type A's. I don't know how many type A's we've got here on the phone, maybe some reform type A's, where it's, I've got my task list, I'm, you know, go through it one by one by one by one, and I'm going to make it all happen, and I'm going to force myself to do it even if I'm not feeling the love for the action in that moment, right? And we could see that that could be a very exhausting way to go through life. If we're just constantly regimenting and controlling every single thing coming out of the mind, right? And we know it's forced action. Ultimately, with forced action, we're going to be exhausted. Versus, and when we tap into inspired action, it tends to be more energizing. You can kind of go on and on and on. To distinguish, willpower and forced action can kind of be seen. I like to see willpower more as like the jump starter to kind of get you moving with things, and then to allow inspired action to take over. And if it's too much enforced action, at least my experience is, if I sit down to work on a project and I'm in that, okay, let's use a little willpower to kind of focus my energy and attention to get started with something, if inspiration doesn't kind of come over me within a reasonable period of time, I will often take that as a sign that, you know, nope, not now. It's like, I'll come back to this when the inspiration is really, really flowing. Occasionally there's deadlines that it's like, okay, you know, I really got to get this out. There's like major, major consequences. And, you know, it truly is a forced action all the way to the finish line. And personally, I just find it so exhausting and not a joy. So not something I really choose to want to do a whole lot of. So any comments or thoughts about forced action versus willpower versus inspired action?
This is Catherine, and I will say that I really noticed a difference in the last year for sure with the belief system I used to have that things have to be hard.
Mm.
So therefore, if things have to be hard, then I have to work my sleep and ass off every single day or it doesn't count.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so now it's that's a big part of it for me, you know, since I started walking at the nature preserve and stuff. I mean, I can't do everything. And you know what? Life's going on.
Yeah.
And it's been a real good lesson for me because I just love my ducks out there and my bird friends, and I don't want to start the day without them. And life's just going to have to adjust itself to me. And that really is a huge, huge development. So I recognize forced action. Physically, my jaw gets tight. I feel just this feeling of tightness in my chest and throat that I'm glad to say I'm feeling earlier and earlier. You know, in a task that really, like you said, it's not like the task is wrong. It's probably just the timing because the inspiration isn't there.
Right.
But
exactly.
I'm still going, trying to get myself through that, like that work could be easy and fun.
Yes.
It's delightful.
And I would dare say that your walks in nature, that time is actually allowing you to be more tuned in to inspired action flowing through you so that when you are focused on it being, you know, quote-unquote work time or self-expression time or, you know, build the business time, that you can much more easily allow that inspiration to flow through.
Right, and also to give me just clarity on what jobs I shouldn't be doing. You know, and I need to accumulate the resources to hire the help that I need, but it's becoming more and more clear what my gift is here and what is somebody else's gift.
Right.
You know, so all these awarenesses are very helpful in keeping peace of mind in it all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's good. Any other thoughts or comments on forced action, willpower, inspired action?
Hi, Mary. It's Stephanie.
Yeah.
You know, the part that you commented about being careful to see if this is the ego that's kind of keeping you from moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that, you know, as I've calmed my mind and my daily practices, I'm getting a lot of inspiration, a lot of, you know, great ideas, and I feel very much inspired. But I also feel as if there's part of me that's telling myself, well, the timing is just not right. Move on it. So as you commented on that, I just began to wonder, well, maybe that is more ego talking than the lack of inspired action.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's a very important thing to be paying attention to. So how do you know, like what's a clear sign that ego's involved?
This is the thing, because in the past I used to feel as if when it comes, like if a decision was difficult to make,
mm-hmm.
I used to feel that, okay, well, maybe, you know, there's more ego involved. And now I find that making decisions and as things are presented to me in life, it's crystal clear what path I'm to take.
Mm-hmm.
But even up until this morning, I felt like, you know, I should be really moving forward a little bit more. And I felt that, like, that was more of a mind thing.
Mm-hmm.
Than an inspiration, than a feeling, than an intuition, per se.
Right, right.
So that it for me, kind of the lines are blurred, because I know there has to be some ego there.
Right, right. And this is probably a good example of wanting to artificially speed things up, right? It would be very much an ego comment to say, hey, Stephanie, you need to be doing more, right?
That's how I feel.
Yeah, that's not really that's not what spirit Spirit is really about aligning with what is. It's like, you know, it's just going with the flow, per se. It might do a little nudge, tap on the shoulder, like, as a, like an inspiration, hey, call so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
But I would venture to say that Spirit is much more of a friendly, loving source in the universe, not the, hey, you know, get on the shtick here, you know, you're not doing enough. So you might also look at the quality of it. If it's mm-hmm. like, hey, you know, you could pick up the phone and, you know, maybe there's so-and-so that you need to reach out to. The quality of it will feel different. One will feel a little heavier and stickier versus freer and like you want to.
Okay.
Right?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, it can work both ways, right? We can have the ego that wants to speed things up. Hey, faster, faster, faster. We can also have a different version of the ego saying, you know, well, you know, I'll write that article tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I'll do that tomorrow. And so if in those moments we can just bring ourselves back to a point of peace and clarity, you know, maybe that means sitting down on the meditation cushion for a few minutes or going for a walk in nature. Or just taking a few minutes and consciously breathing, right? Just coming back to that point of center where we clear the mind,
mm-hmm.
then it will become clear and obvious what really the next thing to do is. Yeah,
great.
Very good.
And you'll find your carrot.
And you'll find your carrot?
Yeah. When I think of inspired action, I always think of a horse. It can either be led by a carrot, or it can be pushed.
Right, right, right. Yes.
So what's your carrot?
Right.
Well, what's going to draw you forward instead of having you push yourself forward?
Mm-hmm. Right. Out of what? Fear. Right. If it's a push, there is some other kind of motivating force. We're not moving quick enough. If you don't do this, this will happen. This leads to another kind of key point, comes from the world of Byron Katie, is, you know, how do you know you really want something? Really powerful concept. How do you know you really want something? And Katie would say, well, how do I know I want a drink of water? I pick up the glass and I take a drink of water. How do I know I want to pick up the pen? I can say, oh, I want to pick up the pen. I want to pick up the pen. Well, it's not true until I actually get into action and pick up the pen.
Up until then, it's in your head.
It's in your head, and it's just a thought. I want something. It's like, well, the way we know we really want something is that we're in action around it. So it could be another fun little idea to play with. If you're finding the procrastination beast on your shoulder, and it's, you know, it's like, do you really want this? Do you really want to write a book? Do you really want to make more money? Do you really want to build a coaching business? It's like, how do you know you really want it? It's like you allow yourself to take the inspired action to fulfill that. Here we've got just a few minutes here to the top of the hour. And I'd love just to check in with those of you here on the main bridge line that are willing to share. What are one or two inspired actions that you would like to take over the coming week? So first, tell us what one of your top goals is, you know, in a word or a sentence, what your goal is, and what are one or two inspired actions that you want to take over the coming week?
Mary, this is Gail.
Yeah, Gail.
I so appreciate your working to distinguish all these things for us, you know, inspired action from willpower, from forced action. It's still a challenge for me to kind of pull all of those apart.
Mm-hmm.
So how I'm going to answer your question is an inspired action that I'm going to take in the next few weeks is to take action when I'm inspired.
Mm.
Absolutely notice the inspiration and take action. I know that may sound flaky, but it's a little challenging for me still to anticipate an inspired action when it seems to me that inspired actions are inspired in the moment.
Right, right, right. Yes, yes, yes. So I love this, and I can offer a little bit of a structure for how this could be done in a, I guess, in a more structured format. Do this exercise. This is very good. Let's say I were to brainstorm, if I'm sitting here on this call and I'm going to brainstorm, let's say, 10 potential actions that I can take towards my goal. One of my goals, I'm leading a 4-day inner peace immersion retreat. I've got a few action items on the list, right? So then I would look at the list, and from a place of inspiration, I might look and check in and see, so where am I feeling the gravity right now? Like, where am I feeling, like, right now, what feels easiest, what feels like, maybe feels like what's the next piece to do. It may match up with logic, might not necessarily, right? And on my list, I might star the two that I felt most magnetically drawn to. So that could be another way to get to, gosh, which inspired action, because I agree with you, most inspired action just occurs in the moment. You might actually do a list of 10 actions that, okay, these are all in support of this goal. But then if inspiration takes you somewhere else, I say honor it. It is so not about the to-do list.
Right, exactly. And so that was really great. And what I heard in that is an additional distinction. Like, I could pick for each of my three goals, inspired action I'll take in the next week is to look at all the possible actions I could take and see what, you know, lights me up and what seems inspired in that moment, and regardless of whether it seems logical or practical or the next thing to do, to actually take that action.
Yes. Love it, love it. And let's even think, you know, as we're putting together an inspired actions list, which one of the forms that I'll post on the NINC forum tonight is just a simple worksheet that has a place for you to list each one of your top three goals, and then there's 10 spaces to write in for 10 inspired actions. And if you think, you know, it's like, well, where do those inspired actions that end up getting written down, where do they come from? Some of them may come from the ego mind that says, hey, in order to do this, this is the next step. But often what happens and why it's a fun exercise to just allow yourself the creativity to do 10 for each goal is sometimes, just like Michael was saying, that, you know, you could be in a room and, you know, you get an idea, it's like a worst idea, and then, like, the one that comes after is actually really amazing. Kind of in the same way, when you do your list, you get kind of what's being held in the mind out on paper. So often the extra layers of inspiration can then flow onto the paper, and it might be, you know, item 9 or 10 that all of a sudden feels like, wow, that is inspired. I'm juiced about that. It might actually reach my outcome quicker.
Sometimes you need to let the poorer ideas out because they're actually blocking the flow of the good ideas.
Exactly. And Michael, how about you? What would be one or two inspired actions that you're up for in the coming week?
I've been building up an inspired action for a few weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't an inspired action.
Oh, okay. So
I've been turning it into an inspired action.
And what is
I've been building up my carrot. I have gotten myself into the bad habit of going to bed around 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
And I've been doing that now for a few months, and I'm recognizing that it's not serving me.
Okay.
So my inspired action for the coming week will be starting with tonight to get to bed much earlier.
And what are you going to name something specifically so we can celebrate with you?
11.
11, okay. And so
that's 3 hours earlier.
Okay. So this is probably a great example of where you might want to bring in a little element of willpower to get this jump started. That at the moment of maybe 10:45 or so, it's like, okay, Michael, we want to make this happen, so let's jumpstart it so that it actually can ultimately become easy and effortless to get to bed at that time.
Right.
Great. And who else?
It's Catherine.
Yeah, Catherine.
And I actually have a book project for Pete's sake. I'm writing a book proposal, and that's all very exciting. And I've got deadlines, and
awesome.
So that's a terrific goal. And so I love your idea about listing the, you know, just the steps, gather my information, and, you know, there's a lot of preliminaries I could do to create the comfort zone around it. So I will do that idea. And I like that, be able to glance through, see which one seems fun, and follow that trail. It's very friendly to me. And there's another way that I create conscious, inspired actions that I want to share.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, like, if I'm going to go out to a Starbucks, I will write two different addresses on two different pieces of paper and then turn them face down and pick one.
Mm.
And I do allow inspiration to take me somewhere and then pay attention to what happens there, what I notice.
Right.
And that's fun because it's just, you know, some really cool things have happened if
right.
you do that. So anyway, that's what I wanted to share.
Oh, love it, love it. I often do that as well when time is less structured on the weekends. It's really just to watch what she does. You know, she being the blonde, me, right? It's like, okay, we're going to go this way. And then I have a thought, oh, well, we could go here. And then I sort of just let go and see what happens. And it often surprises me that, you know, whatever might be more logical or whatever, there's something else doing the choosing and fun to notice what the gifts of honoring that are later on.
Right, because last week I had a big event, you know, biggest event of my career, and it went off very well. Lots of potential headaches, but they all worked out great. It's a coachable moment, you know.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. But like 3 days before, I spent the day sorting through stuff, cleaning closets, and that sort of stuff. And it was because of something you had said. You know, it's like, you know, you may be surprised at what you're inspired to do.
Mm-hmm.
And just do it. Follow that. And I did that. You know, I just thought, this is what I really feel like doing. Now, cleaning a closet is not something I rarely would feel like doing, so that's already unusual. But it didn't hurt me, though. You know, I could have spent the day, you know, creating, you know, mountains out of molehills kind of thing, and instead did something totally unrelated to my list. But it was inspired. It really was. I knew it. I could feel it. And I put my music on, and I was channeling my inner Ellen, you know, like the old time.
There's great beauty in honoring inspiration. Very nice.
Mary?
Yeah.
This is Cindy again.
Yeah, Cindy.
I'm going to be taking inspired action on some of the projects that I have to promote my coaching business. Like, I have some articles that I have been putting off writing, and I have some videos that I wanted to make, so I'm going to take inspired action on those. But also, just talking about inspired action, I really want to share this with you. My daughter and I, it was my grandson's first birthday in September, so Amy took me up to Phoenix so we could celebrate his birthday party. And when we got there, we checked into the motel and stuff, and things weren't going real well. Let's say I didn't feel like my son was cooperating.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter, just out of the blue, picked up your book. And the first thing she opened up to, and this was truly just like it changed the whole weekend, but it had, I don't remember exactly what it said, but the first thing she opened up to was that you can't control other people. It just is what it is. and just live in the moment and accept people for who they are. It's neither good nor bad. Their decisions don't, you know, or something to that effect. But it was truly a huge inspirational moment for both Amy and me, because whenever she read it, she naturally had to share it with me. But it definitely shifted both of our moods and our mindset and everything else to where the rest of the weekend went very, very well. And it was just like the previous person was speaking, saying that she just picked up, you know, the thing, and Amy just opened up your book, and there it was.
Wow. Well, it's a great example of inspired action and then creating another little ripple effect.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. Let's do this as we check out for tonight. As your assignment is really to just continue to be present to inspired action moving through you, how willpower can be a jump starter in certain moments to kind of trump past the ego forces. Let's see, and then our next call is going to be in 2 weeks on October 26th at 5 p.m. Pacific time, and this call will be talking about creating an inner peace vision. So I'd also love to invite you to play and dance with the Inner Peace Immersion Retreat questionnaire, whether you're going to the retreat or not. I'm really looking forward to our next call on October 26th, where we can really play with those inner peace visions, and really looking forward to playing with those of you that will be at the Inner Peace Immersion Retreat next week. We've got a lot of amazing things lined up for you and an experience that will surely transform your life, especially as it relates to everyday inner peace. So with that, we'll just wrap for now, and we'll see you on the call in 2 weeks.
Thanks, Mary.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks, Mary. Have a great one.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.